Well, let us, first of all, this evening read together responsively the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer 121. I'll read the question if you'd please join me in saying that answer. Why is the word remember set in the beginning of the fourth commandment? The word remember is set in the beginning of the fourth commandment partly because of the great benefit of remembering it, we being thereby helped in our preparation to keep it, and in keeping it, better to keep all the rest of the commandments, and to continue a thankful remembrance of the two great benefits of creation and redemption, which contain a short abridgment of religion, and partly because we are very ready to forget it, for that there is less light of nature for it, and yet it restraineth our natural liberty in things at other times lawful, that it cometh but once in 7 days, and many worldly businesses come between, and too often take off our minds from thinking of it, either to prepare for it or to sanctify it, and that Satan with his instruments labors much to blot out the glory and even the memory of it, to bring in all irreligion and impiety. I want to think tonight about that little word, beginning of the fourth commandment, remember. And so we hear, first of all, from the Word of God, Exodus 20, verse 8, where that word is found. Exodus 20, just verse number 8, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, this is the second giving of the Ten Commandments. You see there verses 12 through 15, which begins by saying, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And may God write his words upon our hearts this evening. Dear brothers and sisters in Lord Jesus Christ, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We've been thinking of this fourth commandment for now the third sermon upon it, we have meditated upon the significance of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath, that word Sabbath itself, asking ourselves why we worship on the first day of the week and not on the seventh day as our forefathers. And we saw in part that the great main reason is that we do so because Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week. And when he did, he brought in to this life the beginning of the new covenant. And a new covenant now requires a new worship and a new day upon which that worship is held. The writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 7 that when there is a change of priesthood, there is necessarily a change of the law. And the writer there uses the word law as a synonym for covenant. When the priesthood is changed, the covenant is changed. And when the covenant is changed, everything in some respect must change as well. And the day upon which we worship then changes. We are in the new covenant, no longer in the old covenant. We've also meditated upon the significance of keeping that day holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the significance of keeping it holy is found in our preparing for the day ahead of time, resting on the day we saw, and finally, worshiping on the day. And to remind you that to say that our sanctification of the Lord's Day, our setting it aside as a holy day, does not make it holy. Our sanctifying the day does not make it what it wasn't before. It is the holy day of God. And therefore, we, practically speaking, then, we align our lives to it. It's like praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We give ourselves to God's will, which is immovable, which is perfect. And so, as I cited, I'll cite it again, there is a Puritan who said this, Ezekiel Hopkins said, "God sanctifies it," that is the Sabbath, "by consecration." Remember, he blessed the day and made it holy, Genesis 2 says. God sanctifies it by consecration. We sanctify it by devotion. God Himself has set His mark upon it, and we simply try to do our best to follow the pattern of God Himself. But what is the significance of that beginning word? Remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or as Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 15 says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." Remember. We want to end our meditations upon the Sabbath day where the Sabbath commandment begins. Remember the Sabbath day. The Hebrew term zakar, remember, means so much more than what we are probably thinking. When we think of remember, we think merely of a mental exercise of thinking of something that has already happened, of recalling a past event. To remember does mean that. It means to remember a past event, to bring it back to your memory, to recall it. But it also means so, so much more than merely a mental recollection. To remember in Scripture, and especially in this context of the Sabbath commandment, remembering the creation of God, remembering the redemption of God out of Egypt, it means to give a serious attention to this commandment, which in turn leads to serious action. It doesn't only come into our mind that we recall the commandments and it ends there. It leads us to action. It leads our wills to change, our hands and our feet to move. That recollection then leads us to a true action as we seek to, as we will see, recall the benefits that God has given to us and so forth. As the Puritan commentator Matthew Poole, who commented upon the entire Bible, he said this about that word, remember. He said, "It insinuates the great necessity of consideration and preparation for the Sabbath before it comes." To remember the Sabbath command is to respond then to the Sabbath command. To remember it is to respond to it. Well, what does that mean for us then as we hear that commandment read every single Sunday? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As we remember it, we want to seek to respond. Well, how do we do that? Just two things. First of all, it teaches us to recall our benefits. To recall our benefits that we have in Christ. And secondly, that remembering also teaches us to remedy our forgetfulness. And so this commandment and this word remember is meant to teach us that we are to recall the things that God has already done for us and to then act upon those things by remedying our forgetfulness. And may the Holy Spirit teach us to worship Him truly and rightly, even upon His holy day. Well, first of all, to remember the Sabbath is to recall our benefits. As our catechism speaks, it says that we are to remember the great benefits. Notice, the great benefit of remembering the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and receive the great benefit of rest. Remember the Sabbath and receive the great benefit of worship. Those are the great things that we do upon this day. But the benefit of the Sabbath day, the remembrance of it,
it's not just the so-called cash value of what it means for me, the things that I get from it. I get to rest, or I get to come together with God's people to worship, rest and worship. The benefit is not just the things that we get. The great benefit of the Sabbath day, the great thing that we are to remember chiefly is the Lord Himself. How so? Note how that catechism question and answer points us in the right direction by teaching us of our thankful remembrance of the two great benefits of creation and redemption, which contain a short abridgment of religion. The summary of the whole entire scriptures is found in those two words, creation and redemption. The whole summary of our religion is found there. God has made us. God has liberated us from our sins. The two great summary works of our Lord Himself, the Son of God, who in the beginning was the Word that was spoken by God to create all things out of nothing, and He's the one who has died for our sins, redeeming us from the curse of the law. The two great acts of God Himself throughout all of the Scriptures, the creation, and we see, of course, our fall into sin, and God's response to that is redemption. What has God done? He's created. He's redeemed. And what has God done for us in Christ? He recreates us as He redeems us. These two great benefits of creation and redemption are found in the two accounts of the Sabbath commandment which we have read. And they point us again, the great benefit of remembering the Sabbath day is the Lord God Himself, what He has done. Notice in Exodus 20, verse 11, again we read, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The Lord's command to the Israelites there was to work for 6 days and to rest for one day. And that commandment, and to remember that commandment, is rooted in God's own work, His own creation and His own cessation of creation, His work and His rest. And the Israelites were to remember that the Lord Himself had done this in the beginning, His work of creation, that they and everything else wouldn't have been there in the first place unless God had made it in the first place. They were to recall and to respond by remembering that He made them. Not just in an abstract way did He create, but He made them. Of course, we know of God creating, God making Adam and Eve in His image. But what's fascinating about the story of Exodus and Deuteronomy is how God describes redemption in terms of creation. Just as one example, just as an aside, we read, for example, in Deuteronomy that when the Lord describes His relationship to the Israelites, when they are there in the wilderness, He says to them that He hovered over them like a mother bird would hover over her young, caring for her young, providing for her young. And what is fascinating is that that verb, hovering, is only used twice in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, as well as in Genesis 1, verse 2. "And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep." And so they were to recall that even there being brought out, their redemption was itself a recreation. That God Himself was hovering over a wilderness, formlessness, void. And He was reforming. He was filling the void with His people, hovering over them, blessing them. And so they were to respond to that knowledge that God had made the world and God had made them in His own image and He had remade them in the wilderness. And they were to not only remember that, but to respond to that by following the pattern of their Heavenly Father. That's why God says that they are to work and to rest just as He worked and He rested. They, the Son of God, Exodus 4:24. The Israelites were the Son of God, and they were to emulate and mimic their Father, who Himself worked for 6 days and rested for one, and so to like Father, like Son. We also note in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, which we read, it says this, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Note the focus in that verse, Deuteronomy 5, 15. The Lord's command to the Israelites, not only that they should rest, but it is also that they should give rest to everyone in their power. And that command and that focus was rooted in God's own work of redeeming them from Egypt. And so they were to remember that they too were enslaved at one time. They were to recall that they had been liberated from their slavery. And because they recalled and remembered, they were to respond with action. The action of giving rest to all those who were around them. Remembering the Sabbath day is to remember God Himself. The great benefit is the Lord. And it's so easy for us to think of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, of all the lists of do's and don'ts that you and I could write up and compare, and to think so chiefly about the Sabbath day as what we could do, what we should do, what we may do, what we may not do, and so forth. And we get wrapped up in all that, and if we do that, we miss the mark. We miss the point. The point is God Himself. He tells the Israelites in Exodus 31 that the Sabbath day was a sign that the Lord Himself would sanctify them. The law, the commandment, all the rules and regulations, these are the outward ways in which God was teaching us this one great truth. I, the Lord your God, sanctify you. And so we are to remember creation and redemption, because remembering those brings us to remembrance of God Himself, our triune God who has made all things. This is why I love that citation I gave you a couple weeks ago from Thomas Watson, who described the great blessing of a Sabbath day as being God Himself and His own work in our hearts. He says this, "This commandment was engraven in stone by God's own finger, and it will be our comfort to have it engraven in our hearts." To have God's own finger engrave His Word upon our hearts should be our great desire. And we must prepare the Sabbath day with this in mind. We need to honor the day itself with this in mind. We must come to God Himself on this day, in this place, with this prayer in mind. To pray that as we assemble together to honor God, to sanctify the day, that we would know by experience the words of Jeremiah and the words of the prophet, where he says in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, "I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people." That's the great promise of the new covenant. It is true of us in Christ, but may we know it by experience, to know that He engraves His Word with His own finger upon our hearts of flesh. We should be praying as we come together, in anticipation, preparing to meet together with God. We should be praying that we would know, again, the experience of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:3. He says, "And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." We must remember our benefits, redemption, creation, which is to say God, the Lord Himself, who works in us and through us and on us on this day. Secondly, and most briefly, notice that this commandment and this word remember is also to teach us to remedy our forgetfulness. To remedy our forgetfulness. We are so ready to forget. That's what the Catechism says. We are very ready to forget the Sabbath day. And this is why the Lord had to forcefully command the Israelites, remember, at the very beginning of the commandment. And to signify that by the earthquake, the lightning, the smoke, the fire, all the commandments, but this one especially as well, to forcefully give it to them, that they would not forget. The prophet himself, later on, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, a wonderful verse, are verses that speak of the Sabbath commandment and the blessings of it, where the prophet had to cry out and plead with the Israelites to remember the Sabbath because they had forgotten. He says this, Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. They had forgotten it. They were doing their own work. That's why I read from Nehemiah Ezra chapter 13 a couple of weeks ago, where Ezra had to forcefully close the city gates to keep the Israelites from buying and selling on the Sabbath day. Call the Sabbath a delight, he says, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Hear the blessings of it. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Why are we so prone to forget, in particular, the Sabbath commandment? We know in general that we are sinful, that we are forgetful. We don't know how we ought to pray, Romans 8 says even. We know that, but why in particular are we so prone to forget that God had to say, remember the Sabbath day. Remember that you too were slaves in Egypt. There are three reasons given by our catechism. I'll just briefly touch them as we conclude. Three of them. You can see them very clearly there in that catechism question and answer. First, we are told, quote, that there is less light of nature for it. We believe the law of God is written upon the tablets of our hearts and our consciences as human beings. I spoke of that in our first sermon on why we worship on the first day of the week. Yet there are some laws in the Ten Commandments, this being one, that needed to be reinforced more strictly because the specifics of that commandment were not known by what is called the light of nature, how we are made as image bearers of God. And if you can recall that sermon upon why we worship on Sunday, I said that there is an eternal moral aspect of the fourth commandment, and that eternal moral aspect is that we worship God one day out of every seven. We set aside one day out of every seven for rest and worship. And that is known by the light of nature. But the specifics are not known. What day it falls upon, precisely. What is to be done, what is not to be done, as God then begins to fill in the holes, as it were, with the Israelites. And so, the point is that the Puritans believed, and our forefathers believed, that the Israelites, in our sinfulness, need a positive commandment of God to remind us of our duty. He didn't just reiterate natural law. He gave a positive command to reinforce what that natural law is. Second, we are told that, quote, it cometh but once in 7 days, and many worldly businesses come between, and too often take off our minds from thinking of it, either to prepare for it or to sanctify it. There's a great book, just as an aside, by Jim Dennison called The Market Day of the Soul, the Puritan Doctrine of the Sabbath. They believed that they worked in the markets for 6 days to provide for their bodies, and upon the seventh day, the Sabbath day, it was the market day of the soul. where they bought and traded in spiritual things. And that's behind this reason here. We work for 6 days, but we rest only one day. We rest and worship only on one day. And so our lives are more taken up with earthly affairs than heavenly affairs. And therefore we need a commandment of God to wake us up out of our slumber. Remember, God made you. Remember, God redeemed you. And even when you are working in the markets, you must remember those things. But especially on this day, don't forget. Third and finally, we are told, quote, that Satan with his instruments labors much to blot out the glory and even the memory of it, to bring in all irreligion and impiety. We are participants in a constant cosmic spiritual battle between Christ and Satan that has existed from the Garden of Eden. And the devil himself is trying everything that he can do to cause us to fall away from God. And he wants us in this particular as well to forget the commandment, to fall away from it. If I can put it in crass terms, just as an example, Here are some of the things that the devil can cause us to think in terms of the Sabbath commandment. It's only one Sunday a year that your favorite team comes to town and plays the Chargers. It's only one Sunday. It's only once a year that our family gets together for fill in the blank. It's only one Sunday every once in a while where fill in the blank happens. And it's very easy for us to begin to say, well, it is only once. And we begin to give in on that one time. And the list goes on. Where do we draw the line, brothers and sisters? We have only one Lord's Day a week for 52 weeks. And so there are 52 chances for us to get together, times two, of course, the evening service. 104 services. And if we begin to think, and my point here is not to say, here's the list of do's and don'ts, but if we begin to think in terms of that subtle slide and not being committed, we begin to then slide and we begin to say, well, it's only once every other month that I miss for a certain thing. Well, if we do that and we only come to the morning service, you're only in church 46 out of 52 Sundays. And if you're never there in the evening, you're there at church for about 40% of the time. That's a good batting average. 400, if you can break 400, you're doing pretty well, right? But God wants us to remember the Sabbath day. We must not give in to what God, or what the devil himself seeks so subtly to do, to cause us to forget. He's waging a war, he's battling, and we ourselves testify of that struggle to attend church here in the evening. It's not easy, but we must remember the Sabbath day. Let me just conclude by exhorting you to remember that it is hard work to remember the Sabbath day. It is difficult. It is hard work to rest, if I can put it that way. We have to get ready and put our affairs and our things in order that we might have most benefit today. And it is hard to wake up and to get ready and to travel back again and to sit and listen. It is hard, but it is worth it. To receive the benefits of God Himself is what it is all about. That God Himself is in our midst and He moves and He works and He sanctifies. Again, Ezekiel Hopkins, who was a Puritan who in 1662 conformed, and so he's one of those bad guys, but he conformed and became an Anglican bishop in Ireland. But yet, he's known as a Puritan, and he wrote this, speaking of the Sabbath commandment. He says this, "Thus, if we endeavor to sanctify the Lord's day, the Lord will sanctify His day and His ordinances unto us, and by them convey so much joy and comfort into our souls that they shall be a temporary heaven unto us." That's the means of grace language that he's using there. By means of these things. And fit us for that eternal Sabbath where we shall continually give praise and glory unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb, forever and ever. Amen.